In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We are soldiers of Christ. We fight against the demonic powers. So be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. We are soldiers of Christ, as was St. Demetrius, as is St. Demetrius, a Roman soldier who refused to deny Christ by the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus, whose relics, filled with that grace, have healed and saved many throughout the centuries. We fight against these demonic powers as we see revealed in the gospel account of the Gadarene demoniac. But we are called to be strong against these powers and the grace that is Christ Jesus. Let's take a look at a couple things that I think will help us in regard to this. First, we are called to resist and defeat the temptations that are brought about by these demonic powers. I want to begin and emphasize throughout this homily that Christ has already defeated this enemy. This enemy is a weak enemy. When you're in Christ, with Christ, it's difficult to defeat the enemy when you're outside of Christ and kind of moved by your appetites. But when we're in Christ, we can defeat these enemies. So kind of keep that in mind. So these temptations, these attacks come to us through the mind and our thoughts. We know we get thoughts we should be rejecting. The eyes, the evil, inappropriate images that are thrown to us. We live in a society now where they're just thrown at us like all the time. Boom. Very, very difficult to overcome some of those temptations, but be aware of that. The ears, the cursing, the gossip, ideas that are contrary to our faith, we hear these things. Our hands that do things they should not do, our feet that take us to places they should not take us. So I want to read a little bit from St. Nicodemus, the Holy Mountain, in regard to these temptations and how we can see them and try to defeat them, because we kind of get an idea of what they're about. We understand kind of how they're coming at us. They're cunning. So the beauty of the saints is that they've done this. This isn't like guessing. They have done these things, so we kind of get from them their abilities to defeat these enemies. So this is very beautiful from St. Nicodemus. Once a good thought is given to us by God, the devil follows with this all-powerful suggestion. Later, later, tomorrow, tomorrow. So to defeat the enemy here, obey immediately in actual deed the good thought and promptings coming from the Lord. You know, I should talk to that friend of mine. I should call that friend. Call the friend. Right? You know, I should write that letter. Write the letter. Boom, right there. Good thought. Don't hear that. Later, later, tomorrow, tomorrow. A man can be under fire from all sides, from above, suggestions of excessive spiritual work above his powers. From below, suggestions to reduce or abandon the work through self-pity and negligence and heedlessness, which reminds us the importance of having a spiritual guide. When you start deciding these things on your own, you can be in very much trouble. A spiritual guide blesses your prayer roll, how you fast, how you give alms, all those things could come under a blessing. From the right, when connecting with some right undertaking and work, the enemy leads a man into temptation and downfall. You get in an argument with a friend. You say, you know, it's a great idea. I need to go fix this right now. And you're angry. It's a good thought, good idea, but it's a bad timing, right? Bad timing. So you have to understand, sometimes you get a good thought. You have to be careful that it's not leading you into a bad place. Or from the left, when the enemy presents concrete temptations and draws a man into sin. From the front, when enemies tempt us, disturb us by thoughts of what's to come. the future. Don't watch TV. Don't get on the internet. That's all they're doing. From the rear, when they tempt him with themselves in past deeds and events, the remembrance of wrongs. Run from that. Run from that. Lastly, the enemy suggests that the man is on the right path and can act on his own without guidance. No, no, no. You need a guide. You need help. The help of God and the help of each other. The help of a good spiritual father. But we must understand that each of these temptations, we have a choice. A chance to apply the power of our will against these enemies that come against us. So let me read from St. John Chrysostom on this. He says, commenting on Romans 6:11, do not yield your members to sin, but yield yourself to God. God did not come to destroy our nature, but to set our free choice aright. Your free choice aright. That's what God does. He sets your free choice in the right place so you can make the right choices. Use your will against these enemies. Then show this, that it is not through any force or necessity that we are held down by iniquity, but willingly. It's our will that failed. When we sin, it's our will that failed. So it's important to understand how important, you know, when we fast during the week, it's very beautiful because you have to develop the word no. No to little things, but little things also lead to big things. You say no enough to the little, when the big thing shows up, you can say no to it. So practice that. This is very beautiful from St. John. In this struggle, we need a noble spirit. And above all, we need a commander and a purpose of mind to handle the struggle properly so that we may both obey our commander and take the field for our country. Obey the commander, obey our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and take our country, which means live that Christian life and allow that life to spread out. Take your country, the area of the life that God gave you, and spread it out. So, use that will. Strengthen that will. But when we fall, God has given us the blessing of repentance. After a fall, we come to our forgiving and loving Savior with godly sorrow. It's very important, I think, to understand the importance of coming to God humbly, contritely, broken when we sin with a deep repentance. So when we see this and understand when we sin, we run to an issue of we regret it, right? We regret it because it's broken our heart and we're sad about it. And we feel downcast. We regret it. But repentance is that something happened between me and the Lord. I damaged that relationship. Something got in the way there. My sin has made a problem between me and my Lord. That's repentance. The difference between Judas, who regretted what he did and gave back the money, but Peter repented, and he wept, and he wept. So some words from St. John Chrysostom again to help us understand this. For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Here's St. John's comments on that verse in Corinthians. Only with respect to sins is sorrow a pitiful, profitable thing, as is evident in this way. Still, when it's after a godly sort, it's better than the joy of the world. So repentance, that deep repentance, equals joy. Wow. So get to that. Get to that. Very beautiful. So the coming of Christ, we have this blessing of forgiveness. So we come to the Lord in repentance, and we understand that he is in that repentance of forgiving God, and he is going to forgive those sins. We come to him in confession. We say these words, "I've sinned, O Lord. Forgive me, O God. Be gracious to me, a sinner." We follow that with, "O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I confess to thee all the hidden open sins of my heart and mind, which I have committed unto this present day. Wherefore, I beg of thee." I beg of thee. Righteous, compassionate judge, remission of sins, and grace to sin no more. We come as beggars before God when we come to confession. And when we confess during the day, we see him, understand that we've made a mistake, and we ask God to forgive us. We come as a beggar. And what do we get? These words, if I were to say, remember anything, remember this about God's forgiveness. St. Nikolai. He comments on Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." He says, what is the blessing of forgiveness? Listen to this. The blessing of forgiveness is freedom. Courage, undescribable joy, power. Somebody out there is excited about this. It's good. I like that. So if you like it, shake that little rattle again. Indescribable joy, power, strength, clarity of thought. See, he likes that. Clarity of thought. Peace of conscience. Your conscience is troubled before you go to confession. And when you come out, your conscience is free. Free from that torment. Hope in God. Hymnody to God. Love for one's neighbors. The meaning of one's life. You're clear. You're free from all that you've confessed. It's done. Done. In other words, light, joy, and strength are the blessing. This is the blessing that one who is forgiven of sins feels here on earth. If this is so, then what is the blessing that awaits him in heaven? When all this stuff is gone, that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man. So be encouraged, beloved, when you come to that place in your life where you see the depth of your sin and you repent and you receive these blessings, the meaning of life, everything is cleared out for you. So, beloved, be strong in that grace that is in Christ Jesus, that grace that is in you, that grace that is in you, for God is with us. The kingdom of God is within you. The grace is all. This grace that God has given to us is invincible. It's an all-inclusive weapon. Defeats every enemy. Stronger than all opposition. Than all assaults. Than all powers of darkness. Go nowhere without Christ, because each of these temptations that come your way can be defeated by him in you. By him in you. So you're soldiers, beloved. Be encouraged. You have all the weaponry to defeat the enemy. So let us, soldiers of Christ, fight with the power of God against these temptations brought upon us by the demonic powers. Let us all be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus, our commander, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, and our God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.